Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, August 17th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page XXIX, Men Have Cried Out, reading through two pages.
Sorry, Kathleen O., please unmute. Star one.
Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, August 17th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page XXIX, Men Have Cried Out, reading through two paragraphs, ending in The Ordinary Psychological Approach. We'll be reading and commenting on both paragraphs. Today's readers are Terry S. will be reading the 12 steps, Reggie O. will be reading the 12 traditions, and our readers of the text are KP, Shelley E., and Lynette P. The share ID for Sunday, August 16th, special edition is 15,164. That's 15164. This morning's Monday, August 17th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time share ID is 15,169. 15169. Our newcomer greeter for today is Amy K., and Leslie M. will be making announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Terry S. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning. This is Terry S. in Bend, Oregon. Very glad to be here doing service. The 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Terry S. And Reggie O., would you please read the 12 traditions?
Thank you, Kathleen, and good morning, everybody. This is Reggie O. in Woodland Hills, California, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thanks. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you, Reggio. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page XXIX that begins with men have cried out, reading through two paragraphs ending in the ordinary psychological approach. We'll be reading and commenting on both those paragraphs. And good morning, KP, if you could get us started, please.
Good morning. This is KP from Malden, South Carolina. Gratefully recovered for today. Our text is, men who have cried out to me in sincere and despairing appeal, Doctor, I cannot go on like this. I have everything to live for. I must stop, but I cannot. You must help me. Faced with this problem, if a doctor is honest with himself, he must sometimes feel his own inadequacy. Although he gives all that's in him, it's often not enough. One feels that something more than human power is needed to produce the essential psychic change. Though the aggregate of recoveries resulting from psychiatric effort is considerable, many physicians must admit that we have made little impression upon the problem as a whole. Many types do not respond to the ordinary psychological approach. That first paragraph really speaks to me. I remember how desperate I was. Doctor, I cannot go on like this. I must stop, but I cannot. I could not stop. I wanted to. I didn't try everything everybody else has commented on, but I did try many things. And some would work for a while. I would get some of the weight off. But then it was really white-knuckling it, and sooner or later I gave in to one bite just one time. And, of course, that's not how that ended. that was just how that began. The next paragraph, one feels that something more than human power is needed to produce the essential psychic change. Well, we know that's true. All of us wouldn't be here if we had been able to do this on our own any other way. I've heard it said many times, this is simple but not easy. And that's true. But once you get going on it, it becomes easier. Once you get through the steps, once you have your spiritual awakening, life is not easy, but life becomes much easier. The connection with your higher power is the most important thing that you can do in your life. It will make your life more valuable to yourself. It will make your life more valuable to others around you. Things change. That's really all I know to say about that, is that things change. Many types do not respond to the ordinary psychological approach. I think the ones that do are not really like us. They're not this true, hardcore, compulsive overeater. If they found an easier way and it worked for them, then I'm thrilled for them. But I don't think they're one of us. We're what I've heard called the gutter type. We have a low bottom, and nothing but higher power is going to help us. And thankfully, it's there. All we have to do is what we're told. And I will pass. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.
And thank you, KP, for getting us started this morning. Okay, so again, we're on page XXIX, the second paragraph that begins with "Men have cried out." We're reading through two paragraphs this morning, ending in "The Ordinary Psychological Approach." And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on these two paragraphs?
Dana K.
Dana K.
Lisa J.R.
Lisa J.R.
Julie E.B.
Julie E.B.
Noemi S.
Noemi S. I could take a couple more.
Joanne B.
Joanne B.
Heather W.
Heather W. Great. Great lineup. Thanks, guys. Okay, so I have Dana K., Lisa J.R., Julie E.B., Noemi S., Joanne B., and Heather W. So go ahead, Dana K.
Good morning. This is Dana K., recovered in Liberty, Missouri. Thank you for your service and for everyone that makes this Monday morning possible meeting. I'm grateful to be here and grateful for everyone listening on the line today. The paragraph says, I must stop, but I cannot. I must stop, but I cannot. I just want to stop, but I cannot. That's where I was, and I didn't know how to stop. The good news is that this is the beginning for me of recovery, and can be for you today also, because this is a cry that is sincere and despairing. And when I get to the end of myself, then I am ready to hear the solution. And many times as I came into the program or came back to the program after relapses, you know, I wanted the solution. I wanted that psychic change. I wanted the freedom I heard on the line. And yet I really didn't want to do the work. Or I didn't want to put down the food or the food ingredient that was my alcoholic issue. I just wanted to keep eating how I always ate. And then I wanted to be thin and pretty and, you know, not be obsessed with food. And for me, it just didn't work that way. For me, I had to really concede to my innermost self that I was alcoholic with food. I must stop, but I cannot. So the solution is not me trying harder. For me, it wasn't like personal willpower, you know, just if I could just get a little more willpower, you know, make it 10 more minutes, make it 2 more days abstinent. It was not, the solution was not in a diet plan. The solution was not in therapy alone. It wasn't even in prayer alone. The solution, you know, is not me, period. I can't stop on my own and I need help. And I love that sentence in the next paragraph that says, one feels that something more than human power is needed to produce the essential psychic change. And if you're new on the line, you might be thinking, what in the world are they talking about? What is a psychic change? And this just all sounds, you know, just beyond me. Sometimes the language, I think, of 12 steps is a little difficult for newcomers. But just hang on, because where the book is going to tell us in great detail what that psychic change means. So, you know, what do I do when I come to the end of myself? Where's the answer? Where does my help come from? For me, it was taking step one. I had to admit to my innermost self, you know, that I am powerless over food and my life is unmanageable. I listened to you all. I really just soaked in, you know, words of recovery that you all shared so beautifully on this line. I decided to work the steps and got a sponsor. Thank you so much. And I learned about how to obtain a power greater than myself that could solve all my problems. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Dana Kay. Okay, I have Lisa J.R. followed by Julie E.B. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. This is Lisa J.R., gratefully recovered by grace alone today in Baltimore. And thank you all for being here, and thank you for your service. You guys, your voices are like a warm blanket to me this morning. So I did a lot of crying, and I lingered in step one for a long time. I knew I was powerless. I cried out, help me, you know, deliver me from this God, blah, blah, blah. I was waiting for God to just sprinkle me with pixie dust, as a fellow often says, you know. And then my prayers shifted into, God, if you're not going to, you know, relieve me of this, take me home. I can't do this anymore. So I had a lot of tears, saw a lot of therapists, read a lot of books, tried a lot of diets, did everything I could, because for me, although I came in here with a deep relationship with God, I thought God helps those who help themselves. So I went about helping myself. That was my mission in life. I was going to read books. I was going to create this psychic change by knowledge, through knowledge, you know, and then I would finally be able to take care of it. So I didn't ever get the surrender part of it. I could acknowledge step one, but I could not surrender to God. And we're getting ready to get into an exciting part of the book, you know, where we see ourselves through Bill's story that we're going to get into. But we have to understand that this is, this is Dr. Silkworth is cementing with us that this is something bigger than human knowledge or human power can generate this change. It has to come from something greater. So as they say, hold on to your hats, because this is going to be a wild and wonderful ride. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa J.R. Okay, we have Julie E.B. followed by Noemi S. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I'm just, I really hear my voice, the voice of desperation and the voice of my disease echoed in these words. You must help me. Boy, did I think everybody else must help me. You know, I went to doctors. I remember once crying when I had 6 medical specialists. I remember crying outside of one because they couldn't get me in for a while, and I didn't know how I could keep going anymore. And, I mean, there's endless stories like that, but you must help me. You've got to help me. Going to doctors sometimes was a bit of relief, at least someone address some problem I was having, and everything else seemed pretty hopeless. But you must help me. I mean, I said it to my husband and my kids. I thought they existed to help me. I said it to the people that I worked with. You must help me. Part of me still gets into that disease thinking and thinks that, you know, that it's my boss's job to help me, or it's my some person that I encounter, it's their job to help me. And then I put down the food and went through these steps, and I learned that really the key to life and to my joy in life, living happy, joyous, and free, was that I could help others, that I could switch from you must help me to I could maybe be useful. All my pain, all my struggle, everything that I went through in this disease, that I could be of service. And so now I pray each day that instead of being self-centered, I would be doing the opposite, thinking in the needs of others and working for them. Instead of self-pity, a road that I can go down so quickly, it just went straight. Self-pity, resentment, food for me. I could be praying for gratitude, more gratitude in my life to battle that self-pity. And instead of self-seeking, I looked it up. The opposite is altruism, which is giving without expecting a return. I always wanted a return. You must help me. I thought my sponsor must help me. Everyone I encounter must help me. But the truth is that power greater than myself today is doing for me what I cannot do for myself. And I'm so grateful. So if you're in the pain, please reach out today. Let today's pain be enough. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Okay, Noemi S., you are up next, followed by Joanne B. Good morning, Noemi.
Good morning, everyone. This is my first time sharing on this meeting, I'm coming back from a relapse, and the second paragraph is really the most telling in that he says that the doctor, if a doctor is honest with himself or herself, they too don't know how to help. And that just makes it clear how much bigger this problem than what any human can figure us out of the pickle that we're in, the permanent pickle we're in. That's just, it's something that brings me to my knees every morning. It's something that has caused me to cling to my higher power, to cling to God. And I've always said, if it weren't for this problem, you know, everything else in my life would be perfect, nearly. To being grateful for my problem, because my problem is what makes me cling to my God. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Noemi. Okay, Joanne B., you are up next, followed by Heather W. Go ahead, Joanne.
Thank you. This is Joanne B. calling from Texas. I'm recovered for today. Thank you. What got me thinking was when I first came in to the room, what brought me was I didn't go to the gutter that a lot of my fellows have gone, but I was doing something with my food that was so strange. And all I knew was, this is crazy. What am I doing? And at first it was very difficult because I couldn't find someone to help me know where to go to get help. And I also couldn't, I had a hard time conceding that I was a compulsive overeater because I wasn't like everyone else. My thinking, I kept judging myself, or what is the word? I would compare. But today, when the speaker who brought us into this topic, she made a comment, and I don't know what it was exactly, but it really helped me to see I was at the end, because I was at the, what in the world am I doing? I'm shoving this this cake thingy into my mouth like it was no tomorrow. And then as I see, as I would working through program, and my mind would become clearer, and I would get to talk to other people, and I would see, oh my goodness, I did that, or I did such and such, maybe not to that point that someone else did, but I'm like, you know, I would, something would shoot onto the floor, you know, a piece of fruit, and I would pick it up and eat it before I even thought about it. And just some really weird things that my family saw that I never saw. And yes, I wanted help so bad that when, because I didn't know and I was so insecure and I wasn't sure what was going on, I to many of my fellows, sounded like I wasn't ready. But I didn't let that get to me. I kept looking for someone to help me to understand what was going on. And sure enough, I'm exactly where I need to be. And so grateful, you know, that psychic change. I didn't know what that was because I already had a very spiritual life, but not really. Does that make sense? And so I, because if I did really have that relationship, like so many have said, and even the book has said, I would have been able to do this on my own, and I couldn't. And so I got to see all these things about me, how my brain works. And my biggest breakthrough was when I decided to stop trying to find what that psychic change would look like and just started letting higher power do that for me. And sure enough, thank you, it came. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Joanne B. And before we take you, Heather, I just want to remind everybody that we are on page XXIX, the second paragraph, Men Have Cried Out. We're reading through two paragraphs this morning, ending in the ordinary psychological approach. And I'll be taking some more names after Heather W. So go ahead, please, Heather.
Hey, good morning, y'all. This is Heather W., recovered here in Baltimore. Happy to be on the line this morning. I was in Pacific time for the past 2 weeks, so wasn't able to get on because it's a little early for me, but really happy to be on. And such powerful paragraphs, such powerful shares. And I think what's really hitting me right now is how, as a recovered sponsor, I can really identify with the doctor, right? Like, I have had so many calls, you know, from people saying this exact same thing. And I've said this exact same thing over and over again. I can't go on like this. I know I'm lit. I don't have it. I can't do it. But I picked up again. I see other people pick up again or, you know, not being able to go through the process. And I think it's just so important to remember, you know, no human power, no doctor, no sponsor, nothing. You know, there's nothing that anyone could have given me until I was ready. I truly believe that my final surrender, my true step one experience, and I was in OA 6 years before I really took step one, 6 years, you know, before I was really able to understand, yeah, you know, and admit to my innermost self, concede to my innermost self, I'm a compulsive eater. And I truly believe it was a gift, me being able to do that, you know, when God said I was ready, giving me that gift. But like with any gifts, you know, I had to unwrap it. I had to use it. I had to do the work. I had to put down the food and pick up those steps and work them like my life depended on it, because they did. And then just that bottom sentence always gets me. Many types do not respond to the ordinary psychological approach. And, you know, I was about counseling, therapy, self-help books, which is such a funny concept to me now. But, you know, or even OA for 6 years, doing this kind of like dieting with group support, working the steps through like the OA 12 and 12, you know, all of that. But still, that was not enough. Until I put down my food entirely, entire abstinence, number one, and then went through the rest of the steps to get that entire psychic change. You know, they're going to talk about that. How do we get this entire psychic change, which is really just a process that's going to enable me to connect with that higher power, To me, that is God, to connect with God. So I never have to pick up again, you know. And today I know I never, ever, ever have to eat compulsively again. I don't want to. I'm so grateful for that, as long as I continue on in this work. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you all for letting me share.
Thank you, Heather W. Okay, we're on page XXIX, the second paragraph. Men have cried out, reading through two paragraphs this morning, and I'll be taking some more names. And just a little reminder, although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share on these two paragraphs?
Kathy V.
Okay, I heard somebody V.
Kathy Z, as in zebra.
Oh, Kathy Z is in zebra. Okay.
Michelle Y.
Michelle Y, was it?
Yes.
Okay.
Linnea B.
Linnea B.
Freedom H.
Freedom H. Can take a couple more.
Stephanie P.
Stephanie P.
Okay, so
Stephanie P. And who else?
Pamela
Rebecca
R.
T.
Okay, I think I heard Rebecca T. Was it?
Yes.
And then who was before
R.
Rebecca?
Pamela R.
Say that. Pamela R. B.
Pamela R. B.
Pamela R. Pamela R. B. Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, now hopefully we'll get to all of you. So I have Kathy Z, Michelle Y, Linnea B, Freedom H, Stephanie P, Rebecca T, and Pamela R. B. So go ahead, Kathy Z, please. Good morning.
Hi, this is Kathy Z from Washington State, recovered compulsive eater. I'm so thankful to be able to share today. Thank you so much for your service, Kathleen. So for me, when my circumstances were unmanageable and when my emotions were unmanageable, I sought out therapy, and it really wasn't working for me. It wasn't helping me. And then all of a sudden I think spiritually led by my higher power that I had somewhat of a relationship with, to a 12-step program and the 12 steps. And at that point, when I read the first step and realized that I was powerless over food, thus powerless over my circumstances and my emotions, and my life was unmanageable, to me, that was the beginning of that psychic change of realizing that and being able to say, wow, okay, this is so true. Now what do I do, you know? So that was the beginning of a psychic change. And I feel like I continue as I, you know, I had my sponsor and working through the steps, that psychic change is something that happens all the time now. So there are just little things that happen. Once I realized that my higher power was in charge and believed that my higher power was going to be my guide, then the intuitive thoughts from my higher power, the awareness from my higher power, it's just like there's this, it's so cool because I can anticipate psychic changes all the time now. And I hold on to that really tight because that's my recovery. And it's beautiful, and I just feel so much more sure-footed in my program and not so afraid to be doing things in this world, to be living my life. And with that, I'm going to pass. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Kathy Z.
Okay, good morning, Michelle Y. You're up next, followed by Linnea B.
Good morning. This is Michelle Y, and I am from the suburbs of Philadelphia. I'm grateful to be on the line this morning. I've been away and in relapse for about 3 months. Gave back my abstinence of about 3 months at that time, and I have been crazy ever since. And what I find really interesting is, you know, pulling out my big book. I have a little bit of clarity today. I'm on day four. But what I find really interesting is in pulling out the big book and reading these couple of paragraphs, listening to people share, what I realized is in all the highlighting in my big book, all of it, throughout the doctor's opinion, in fact, pretty much the whole doctor's opinion is pretty much highlighted. What is not highlighted is that in this sentence, one feels that something more than human power is needed to produce the essential psychic change. That I had actually highlighted just the words, the essential psychic change, but had not highlighted one feels that something more than human power is needed to produce that. So I'm really looking at what's going on and sort of what led to this last relapse. And I am still so struggling with accepting a higher power's help. And that really is hard for me to say. I came in program in 82. I was 16. I stayed in for about 3 months. Couldn't connect with anybody at that time. It was just mostly older folks I couldn't relate to. Came back in my mid-20s and stayed in LA for about 13 years. And the struggle I had then, which seems to be still the struggle I'm having today, is releasing and giving my life and control over to higher power. And part of my struggle is I am definitely agnostic, and I believe in something outside of me, in a divinity, something, but I don't know about having a personal relationship with that higher power and committing and believing and trusting in that higher power. And obviously it all gets jumbled when I'm in the food, right? And food is my higher power. So it's a real struggle for me, has been for decades. And I do believe in some universal divinity, but again, not sure how that translates to a personal relationship. So I'm grateful to be here. I'm so grateful that you're all here. I'm so grateful today for day four and a little bit of clarity. And I just want to share. Thank you. That's it. I pass.
Thank you, Michelle Y. Okay, Linnea B., you are up next, followed by Freedom H. Go ahead, Linnea. Linnea, star one to unmute.
Hi, sorry about that. That took a little time. Linnea B. here, recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. First, thank you so much for your service. Thank you so much. Thank God for this meeting, because this is where I can hear a solution that has weight and depth that works for me. It's just unbelievable. So, you know, this thing about crying out, you know, sincerely with despair. I was feeling so hopeless that might have been a bit much. I don't think I could have even, I couldn't do that. And I hope to God I never forget how hopeless I felt before the first time I came on a vision for you on back at the end of May. Just unbelievable. So this thing about then having a psychic change, so I was just looking in the AA 12 and 12 where it says, when a man or a woman has a spiritual awakening, the most important meaning of it is that he has now become able to do, feel, and believe that which he could not do before on his unaided strength and resources alone. So completely 100% true, and I've just experienced this. I ate something on, I don't know, Friday or Saturday, and then maybe Saturday, Friday, it doesn't matter. And as the day went on, then the evening came, and I thought to myself I should order some takeout food, and that with it I should be sure that they would bring me a pint of ice cream. And I thought, my God, where did that thought come from? I mean, just scared the bejeebies out of me. And I got on the phone, you know, and started making phone calls, prayed God, you know, and I knew that I had read the ingredients on some stuff that I had used. I knew that I had read it and checked it, you know, and make sure that sugar, which is a trigger for me, was not too high in the ingredient list. And but then somebody said something about, well, maybe you got triggered, maybe you ate something, and I went and checked, and I couldn't believe it. Sugar was the third ingredient, and I thought, oh my God, I'm experiencing the phenomenon of craving related to having ingested this substance. I was scared. Because it was really, really strong, and it was not something that, I mean, I prayed, and I mean, I spent a lot of time on the phone then. And one of the people I called said, well, maybe you read the list of ingredients, and your denial was such that you just said, well, it's not that bad, I'll buy it anyway.
Time, please.
And I said, oh, thank you so much. The point, though, is that we have a solution, and it works. And I didn't have to respond to that phenomenon of craving because I have a relationship with a higher power and the 12 steps. Thank you, God. I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Linnea B. Okay, good morning, Freedom H. You're up next, followed by Stephanie P. Star one to unmute, Freedom. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Sorry about that. It took me a while. Thank you so much. I'm very grateful for Overeaters Anonymous as they saved my life. I was on my deathbed, and I was unaware that there was a program that would support me and help me recover. My partner just told me something that confirmed what I had been thinking, was that I'm no different than an alcoholic. When I eat sugar, I am just no different than an alcoholic with my food. And he had said that they had tested people and it came up positive as if they were drunk when they had eaten sugar. And I thought, wow, that confirms it just right there, that they were getting DUIs and getting into trouble because of the food. And so, yeah, I'm very thankful. I'm 312 days abstinent from sugar, flour, and wheat today. And I would not be here today if it wasn't for Overeaters and AA. And I really love the recovery program. It saved my life, and I know it can save many more. And I'm very grateful to have the education that I did not have before finding Overeaters Anonymous. I was lost. I didn't know what to do, didn't know how to do it, and I was always, oh, tomorrow I can do it. But I never could, because in my own willpower I couldn't do it. I had to have a higher power. I had to have God's help. And I didn't know that. And so every day it was, oh, tomorrow. Well, never happened until I found Overeaters Anonymous and realized that I had to work the 12 steps, and I had to trust in a higher power. And with that, I'll mute and pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Freedom H. Okay, we have three people left in the lineup and not quite enough time. So if you want to cut your shares a little short, maybe we can get to all three of you. So Stephanie P., you're up next, followed by Rebecca T. Good morning, Stephanie. Star one to unmute, Stephanie.
Hi, it's Stephanie P., compulsive overeater from Chicago. Grateful to be on the meeting this morning. I love these paragraphs.
I can just relate. I was so resistant to OA, and I went to so many doctors. I went to treatment, and no human power could fix me. And, you know, I was reading Working with Others with a sponsee yesterday, and it said, you know, something about containment, you know, can't work, and shielding from sick temptation, you're doomed. And, you know, it's so important that we work the steps and form this relationship with God. That's the point of the steps and then passing on the message and, you know, that relationship to help me with my problem. And it also says, you know, there was a paragraph earlier in this chapter talking about the sense of ease and comfort that, you know, needs to come from God that we got from eating. And, you know, that comfort needs to come from God. And that's so important to me today. And I realized that no human power can have relieved my compulsive overeating. And, you know, talking about the psychic change is having that spiritual awakening, which I need to recover. And, you know, this disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful. And I've been a chronic relapser for so long. And to finally have, you know, found freedom and neutrality is just such a gift. And just being of maximum service, continuing to take on sponsees, service to me is so important, you know, to stay here and continuing to strengthen my relationship with God. So I'm so grateful to be here today, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Stephanie P. Okay, I have Rebecca T. followed by Pamela R.B., and if you both want to take about 2 minutes max, that would be great. Go ahead, Rebecca T., please.
Hey, beautiful fellows. It's Rebecca T. from Washington State, Port Angeles. So good to hear all of you. I'll make it short. Pretty much, you know, everything everyone said, and including the doctor's opinion, was me not in recovery. And it's so beautiful to tap into, you know, every morning all of the amazing resources that are linked. They follow the guide and the light towards my higher power every day. And I do have to remember, I have to surrender every morning. I have to surrender every night and remember that I am a compulsive overeater, that I am an addict and through and through. So not only in my food, but yeah, physically, spiritually, mentally. And so, you know, now, you know, life is being life. And now what comes up is, you know, there's other areas of my life that, you know, I'm struggling with wanting to turn over. And I know I see that as my control and my will. And so, you know, these challenges and these hurdles and these hills and, you know, terrible feelings and struggles, I do see that it is really only to test me, to ask me which way am I going to choose. And it's testing me to get even closer. My higher power is saying, you know, I'm here for you. You need to seek me out stronger, firmer, and more. And so that's what I see these lessons as. And so, yes, I can trudge this beautiful road with all of my fellows, know that I'm not alone, and continually looking to see how I can grow closer to my higher power so that I can be of maximum service to everybody else. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you, Rebecca T., and thank you for shortening your share. So Pamela, we can get you in. You have about 2 minutes. Go ahead, Pamela.
Well, good morning. Thank you, everybody. And thank you, moderator, for this meeting this morning. Oh, boy. I absolutely love this. Men have cried out to me in sincere and despairing appeal. Doctor, I can't go on like this. And so my appeal was September 2017. I think it was like September 16th or somewhere around there when there was a vision conference in Jersey. And I pretty much came in like that. You know, I didn't know what else to do. I've been a chronic relapser in the program for about 11 years. And, you know, I kept picking up the food, and I came into that convention convinced that, you know, either God was there or I was going to continue to eat. And as it was, that first step speaker was sitting to my right at the breakfast table that morning and just said, "How's your program?" And I got gut-wrenching honest. And from that point on, God showed up and God led me to be in the room when they were giving out big books and they asked for the name of the person who or a female's name who was most registered for that convention, her name. And I came up with the name, well, the name Linda came to me. So anyways, I got a new big book and I got a new lease on life that day. And I'm coming up on 3 years and I'm so excited about it. You know, and what I recognize is I'm so grateful that these doctors knew their limitations. They knew where they end and where God needed to begin. And they may not say God because they refer to God as a psychic change, you know. But they knew they needed something far more than what they call synthetic knowledge. And I'm so grateful that they were so humbled. They displayed a spirit of humility, and they knew that they could no longer do this. And I'm so grateful that there are people who got this and who wanted to share this, like, you know, as Bill W. did, and to show people we could do it. So I'm grateful to be here, and I'm going to pass on that. Thank you guys for letting me share. Have a great day.
Thanks. And thank you, Pamela. Thanks so much. Okay, and thank you everyone who shared this morning. Special thanks to Team Monday, Terry S., Reggie O., KP, Shelley E., Lynette P., Amy K., and Leslie M. Appreciate all your help this morning, Team Monday. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Shelley E., would you please read a vision for you?
Good morning, Kathleen. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in northern Michigan. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. No, a little. God will constantly go.
Shelley, we don't hear you.
Can transmit
you there, Shelley?
Something you haven't got. See who is your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.